don't just kind of wonder if maybe I think I'm a Christian. No. Well, I've been kind of hanging around church, so like just under assumption, I assume that I'm good enough. No. Has nothing to do with your goodness and has nothing to do with how many times you go to church. You need to drive a stake and say, this day I open my heart and receive Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Savior. I've chosen to turn from my sins and turn to God. And the second is to get it right with people.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message where he taught us some of the signs around about that show us we're in the final chapter on God's eternal calendar. Let's pick it up where we left off yesterday. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message. What time is it?
God is saying, now listen, I want you to understand what's happening. There's signs. You can read the signs of the day. It's like you have an app on your iPhone. You can tell what the weather's going to be like tomorrow, he said to the Pharisees and Sadducees. You can look at your iPhone and tell me what the easterly winds are going to be. But you can't discern the signs of the times. You see, one of the things God does on his clock is he gives us signs, not hands that move, but signs around us. And he's saying, discern the signs of the time that'll tell you sort of like where you are in my scheme of things. In fact, you say, well, what are some of the signs of the times? Let me share with you that one of the signs of the times is when there becomes a downturn in the morals of the church and the country. It's a sign. Something's happening. And another is physical signs of famines or of earthquakes, great earthquakes. In fact, let's read the scripture as it comes up of what's taking place in Luke 21. He says, this will be a sign in that these are the last days. Read it with me. Go. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be what kind of earthquakes? Continue. And in various places, plagues and famine. Stop for a second. Did you know that last week they found the beginnings of a bubonic plague in Yosemite Park? One person contracted that. And they caught that. Thank goodness that health department stopped that. But you understand how close we are to a plague running amok? And that's right in our own backyard. Continue. Go. When these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. So he says, when these things, what? Begin to take place. Not when they're in full bloom. When they just begin to take place. Straighten up. And lift up your heads. And get it out of the world's time clock. And look to God's time clock. Because your redemption, that word redemption is a word for ransom. Your ransom, your freedom is close. I'll talk to you about that in a second. But he's saying, one of the signs of the times, so you'll know where in the chronology of God we are, you look around, you'll see that there's going to be an increase of earthquakes and floods, etc. Now, there's always been earthquakes, but you will see them at an ever-increasing rate of getting closer and closer together, and great earthquakes. We're in the last chapter. I don't know where in the last chapter we are, but we're in the last chapter. And one of the signs of that is an increasing of earthquakes. We all remember December 26, 2004, an earthquake moved Sumatra 100 feet. And when that happened, listen, 290,000 people died. 290,000, not 20,000. Not 29,000, 290,000. Move ahead 2 years. Pakistan, earthquake, 86,000 people die. Move the clock, God's clock, 2 years ahead. May 12, 2008, Western China, 80,000 people die. Move it 2 more years ahead. Haiti, 360,000 people just died. And then March 11, 2011, Tohoku, Japan, 18,000 more people died. Do you know in the last 9 years, over 500,000 people have perished just in earthquakes? And I haven't even told you yet about New Zealand and Christchurch, that earthquake, or over in Chile or in Turkey. You see, I didn't know, some of you say, I didn't know about the Pakistan one or the Western China one or how many died or the magnitude of that. You know, it's happening so quickly now, we don't even have enough time to sufficiently mourn for one before another nails us. Pretty soon, you know what happens? We just sort of get jaded. Like, what, really? You know, there's 360,000 died. It's happening at such a rate that we don't even realize. And now there's nuclear threats, and then there's ISIS. And another interesting thing is, did you know that the economy's downturn is accelerating to such a rate that we have no idea what's going on? Do you know how America is doing okay now? You see construction. You know what's propping us up? Our loans from other countries. America owes, in our debt, we owe $16.7 trillion in debt. You know how much we pay just in interest alone every day? Every day we write a check. Every day we write a check for $1.2 billion in interest payments only. Just interest. Because the amount of money that we have from other nations that we have borrowed. China alone, every day we write China a check for $73 million, just interest, every day. So if you're Pake, rejoice. We are paying interest payments, $51 million an hour. $51 million an hour. Because you think about it, $1.2 billion a day, not a month, not a year, a day. What economy can survive when that continues? Now, we did borrow $2.8 trillion from one source, and we don't have to pay interest on that. You know why? Because the government has borrowed $2.8 trillion from your Social Security accounts. Now, you continue that, and how long will we survive? We're being propped up on loans. Do you understand the signs that are going on? And it's like, if we're not careful, we'll miss the flight. So of all of this, what is God saying? I'm going to give you a fact, and I'm going to give you an application. Are you ready? Here's the first. The fact is, number one, we have to all recognize that we are in the last days. So we have to think like last days people. We have to live like last days saints. There's a sense of urgency. But we have to recognize that we're all in the last days. We're that close to the end. Now, some people say, all you preachers talk about last days stuff. That's just crazy. No. Just look at the signs. Don't look at me. Look at the signs. What time is it? It's like God, with all the signs, you can hear God say, do you know what time it is? No, we're not in the last days. Well, sure we are. Not only are we in the last days biblically speaking, we're in the last days biologically speaking. What do you mean? Well, watch this. Raise your hand. Those of you that are 40 years old or over right now, go, raise your hand. Now look around. You're in your last days. If you're 60, you're pow. The front row people here, now you just gave away your age. If you're 50 and over, you've got 20, 30 years left. See, understand, we've only got so much time left. It's not like, we've got another 100 years, 80 years. No, it's not that much time. Biologically speaking, we're coming to a limited time. So we have to think differently. If you don't, these last days things won't be obvious to many. You'll miss it. You'll miss the signs and you'll miss the flight. I've sat with many people who are in their last days. And just to give you an example, and as a pastor, I'm with a lot of people that die. Not that I caused it, you know, in any way, but they're on their last days, maybe their last moments, maybe their last two or three breaths. But here's something that I've found out. I have found out that when I'm sitting with someone that's in their last months or last days, They never think and they never say, man, I could have made that one more real estate deal. Or I could have made $100 more when I sold that car. Or why doesn't that person pay me back that $100 that he owes me? No, all of that's like, forget it. You know what they're thinking about? How do I get my heart right with God? And how do I make my relationships right with people? That's it. And we can learn from these people. There's so many signs that say we're in the last days. So we have to think differently. Think differently because God gives us signs. And every sign means something, that we're in the last days. Like if you go down the street and there's a big red octagonal sign that says stop, what does that mean? Yeah, to some it just means slow up a little bit. And if there's a sign that says slow, what does that mean? Slow, or to some, doesn't mean a thing at all. But these signs have meaning. I remember the story of these two Christians. They're holding the sign and it said, the end is near. Turn around. Follow Jesus. And one car comes around, rolls down his window and yells at him, you bunch of fanatics, get out of the road. And speeds off, squeals his tire. He goes around the corner and they hear this splash into the river. And one Christian looks at the other and says, you know, we should have just made it simple by saying bridge out ahead. So when you see a sign that says the end is near, turn around and follow Jesus, there's a reason. But it won't be obvious to many. In fact, there'll be some that'll even mock. Let's read what the scripture says. Here, go. Know this first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of... Yeah, it's the same. Listen, don't wait until you splash into the river before you realize I should have heeded the signs to think differently. So it won't be obvious. Scripture says that. Let's read this in Matthew 24. Did you read it with me? Go. The coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. And don't wait until you're in the river before you say, God, what are you saying? See, it's like God is saying, do you know what time it is right now? Well, you don't know about this circumstance and what I'm going through on this and what I'm going through. Do you know what time it is? And do you know what I'm saying to you? What must you do? Some changes, habits. Maybe your trust displaced incorrectly, leaning on something like we are in our country, on other people's money to prop us up. And God is saying, you know what? I'm going to start taking that away. Do you know one of the ways God judges a country is he allows them to have bad leaders? So the people start to suffer. And if you look all the way through the Bible, you know what God is saying? When there's bad leaders that come in or enemies that come in, when they cry out to God, you know what God's answer is? Then turn back to me. It's the way God judges a nation that's turned away from him. He allows things like these signs to come in. And when we cry out to God, here's his answer. Then turn your hearts back to me. Because God, like he does anything to get our hearts back so that he can bless and help. And the children of Israel's wandering off. Their hearts are wandering off. So these Babylonians, just nail them, would you? The Babylonians come, beat the snot out of them. And then they cry to God. God says, turn back to me, says the Lord. No. Okay, Assyrians, go. They beat the snot out of them. They cry out to God. God says, now turn back to me and I'll help you. No. Just take the Assyrians away. Well, if I take the Assyrians away, but you don't turn back to me, it's not going to do anything because you'll keep drifting. I don't care. Okay, Philistines, do your thing. They beat the snot out of them and they cry out to God. God says, turn back to me.
No.
Okay, is there anybody else I can use? Portuguese people. Why, you come, Portugal, go. He's like looking for anybody to beat the snot out of him. Why? So they'll turn their hearts back to God. And what was their reply? No. Reminds me of that little kid standing on the pew. And the mother says, sit down, church is about to start.
No, I'm going to stand up.
Sit down, church is starting.
No, I'm going to stand up.
She said, I said, sit down, grabs his ear and yanks him down and sits him down and says, I told you to sit down. And the little kid looks up at his mother and says, I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. You see, we have that rebellious streak, and so God allows those things to come in. Why? To turn us back to him. And if you don't know what time it is, and if you don't know what God is saying, you'll miss the flight. And we'll be fighting symptoms. Whenever you hit a wall, first thing to say is this, not what's going on, God, but Lord, what are you saying to me? How shall I live? Are you working on something in me? A displaced faith, a displaced trust, a habit that needs to be broken, a judgment that needs to be rescinded, an anger, a misperception, maybe a humility. But God, what are you saying? And when you start to walk in time with God, there's a cadence, and you're starting to stay current with the Holy Spirit, and there's an insight that's developed and a perception. So you say, all right, so what's the action then? If the fact is we're in the end times, what's the action? The action is just like when someone is dying, what are they thinking about? The same thing we need to right now. All that's going on, here it is. Would you write down somewhere, what is God saying? God is saying, in general, here it is. Get your heart right. Get all your accounts clean. Because God's not going to do anything in your life with unclean accounts. Broken promises, unresolved conflicts. Remember, it's not sin that destroys God's people. It's unresolved sin that lies within us. And the two directions to get our lives together is get your heart right first with God. Get it right with God, vertical. And then get it right with one another, horizontal. Get it first right with God. Please listen, if you haven't received Christ yet, I want to give you an opportunity today to do that. At the end of the service, to come to Christ. Don't just kind of wonder if maybe I think I'm a Christian. No. Well, I've been kind of hanging around church, so like just under assumption, I assume that I'm good enough. No. It has nothing to do with your goodness and has nothing to do with how many times you go to church. You need to drive a stake and say, this day, I opened my heart and received Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Savior. I've chosen to turn from my sins and turn to God. If you've never received Christ, I want you to get your heart right with God. And today's the day. Today's the day. And the second is to get it right with people. And that's what the greatest commandment of all is, isn't it? That thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and all your strength. And the second is like unto the first, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And people of the last days understand the importance of that. Are there people that you need to forgive, rescind that wrong judgment? To just choose to lay aside that need to take revenge? Or to wait on someone's acceptance? You've been waiting on a person. Remember, they zap your strength. Only he who waits on the Lord shall renew their strength. You've been waiting on people for their acceptance, their pat on the back, for you to be able to feel good about yourself. Maybe God is saying you need to get all of that right with people. Do you know that I think the meanest counseling sessions I've ever had are not with non-Christians, it's with Christians. When? Well, I'll tell you when. When there's an inheritance to be gained. I mean, Christians turn into terrorists. They're like ISIS people. Crazy. And so relationships are destroyed among Christians. And I'm thinking, I wonder if God allows there to be a setback and not take you to the end of your life, but take you to the end of your rope and where you say, you know, it's not worth it to exchange money for a relationship between another brother or sister. And so God may be speaking to us to get our relationships right. Did you know that I know a lot of Christians that have eternal life, but they don't have an abundant life? They have eternal life, but they don't live an abundant life. Now, there's a bunch of those. Say, really? Oh, absolutely. Did you know that you can be a pill and still get to heaven? You can be a dorkhead and still get to heaven? Yeah, because your entry fee to heaven is paid not by your performance or your attitude or your ability to relate to people. Your entrance fee to heaven was paid by not your performance, but Jesus' performance. Not your sacrifice and blood, but His blood. You understand that? So by putting your faith in Christ, He pays your entry fee. But you can still refuse the abundant life and have broken relationships. I mean, you'll still get to heaven. Angels won't like it. You know, someone's coming to heaven like, oh, here's John. Come in, come in, come in. Get in. Get out of here. Oh, shit. Okay, next. Yeah, you can get into heaven because it's based on Christ's performance, not yours. But John 10:10 says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Don't settle for anything less than an abundant life. And so we get things right. At the end of the conversation with the Pharisees and Sadducees, the Lord is talking to them, and they push back on Jesus. And they say, give us a sign. And this is what Jesus says at the end. An evil and an adulterous nation seeketh after a sign, but no sign will be given them except the sign of Jonah. In another portion of Scripture, it expands and unpacks that. Just like Jonah was in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth. And then He left them. What was He saying? You want another sign? Here's your last sign, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You miss that, you miss the flight. Doesn't matter how many blessings you get. You miss the flight. And He left them. Get that together first. So let me bring it all together and say this. If you've not received Christ, but you're coming for more blessings, more answers, more this or more that, stop for a second. And the Lord is saying, you missed the death and resurrection of Christ. You missed the flight. Do you know what time it is? If you don't know Christ, the time is now to receive Christ. Make Him your Lord and Savior. And if you're a Christian, get your heart right, not only with God, but with others. And when there's a setback and something that you're struggling with, make sure that your first question is, God, what are you saying? And when you hear what He's saying, you'll be known as a person of insight and perception, and you'll learn to walk in cadence with the Holy Spirit. Now, you're on your way to an abundant life.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, What Time Is It? Thank you for listening. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
Listen, don't wait until you splash into the river before you realize I should have heeded the signs. To think differently. It won't be obvious. Scripture says that. Let's read this in Matthew 24. Did you read it with me? Go. The coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. And don't wait until you're in the river before you say, God, what are you saying? See, it's like God is saying, do you know what time it is right now?
For Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, God bless you and aloha.